Thank you, Dan. Yeah, about 50 years as a mechanic, I guess. And it was a good life. Well, I guess I better ask my wife. It was a good life. There you go. But retirement's better, I can tell you that for sure. It's a enjoyable time that we're having, and it's even better than what I thought it was going to be. It is a pleasure to stand before you today and bring you some scriptures that I believe are they're all important, but ones that touch my heart, and I hope they do yours. Those of you who have your scriptures, I'd appreciate it if you follow along. Turn to Colossians, the first chapter, if you would. That's right after Philippians. So get a little confused every once in a while. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to a group of people, and they were a righteous people. They were had been given the word of God. They had been converted. They had received his spirit within their hearts, the love of Jesus Christ. I know so because it says so right in that eighth verse. His brother that was there, Epaphras, was ministering to this group of people, the Colossians, and he informed Paul how righteous they were and the love that they had in their hearts. And Paul returns and says that we've been praying for you and so forth. And I'm going to pick it up in the middle here. I'm going to start reading in the 12th verse. And it's Paul telling that he's giving thanks to the Father for them. And but what I'm really looking at is the description of Jesus Christ that comes later, and my Bible says the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to start at the 12th verse. And it says, giving thanks unto the Father, this is Paul speaking, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. That gift, my brother mentioned in his prayer, the gifts that we've received through the Lord. And this is one of those gifts that the Lord makes us meet or worthy to be partakers of that inheritance. It is a gift. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and I love this next phrase, and has translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. And I want to ask you, do you feel translated, changed immediately? Have you received that translation, and do you feel it? Do you have joy in your heart because of it? And if the answer is no, well, shame on you, because you have been, and you should. And you should recognize that, and you should accept that, and realize that that is another gift of God. Totally a gift of God. And speaking of Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And you know, I have written in my Bible, and I did it quite some time ago, under that line where it says created by him and for him, I have written in there for a purpose in him. And I don't know whether that was given to me just for individual knowledge or not, but that's the way I feel, that they were created by him and for him, and I was created to have a purpose in him. And I believe that's true for you, each one of you who have been translated, who have been changed in an instant and received, have become no longer subjects of the flesh, but are walking in the Spirit. 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Not only did the Father cause or have the Son create all these things by him and for himself, but he also was reconciled it by the cross. He didn't have to, but he went ahead and died on the cross, and by that, it was just not a gift, but he earned this by this reconciliation upon the cross. I want to turn now to the first chapter of John and read something you all know, you probably quote by heart, John 1, the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And you know, just a few little words, but I get a picture in my mind, and here is the Father and the Son. And it was in the beginning. They were in the beginning. And, you know, I look at that, and the scriptures tell me that God, the Father, and the Son, they're love. And so I read this next verse, and I wonder at it, because the next verse says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Why? Okay? I don't want to get into philosophy, because I don't know a thing about philosophy, but we have the Father and the Son from the beginning, that in them all fullness, that's all fullness and love, and they have each other. So why the creation? Okay? You know, why the creation? I'm going to turn to that, back to the first chapter of Genesis, and just quote here and there from it. And the first, and this starts with this beginning. In the first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we know that he created these things. And we know that he created light and dark, day and night. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the waters. He created everything that is upon the earth. And then he goes down into about the 26th verse, and he said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed that shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Well, that's what I would expect from anything that God created. It was very good. In fact, it was perfect. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So there's a reason, you know, in that verse that I said, there's a purpose in God. And I look at my own life and I look at my children, my boys, and I look at my grandkids, and I see them, and I know that they're gifts of God, and I want them to have the joy that I have in my life. And I know then that when they have this joy, when they have this love, it increases my love. It makes my life better. It makes my life full. And it's simply the love and the joy. And I believe that that's why creation took place. The Father and the Son knew that this joy needs and has to be shared and spread. You look at the parable in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and you look at the talents. And that's what that's all about. You know, he gave to one man 5 talents, and he gave 2 to another, and he gave 1 to another. And we know that the 5 gained another 5, and the 2 another 2. And the 1, what you know what he did. He went and hid that talent, and it says it's because he was afraid. He was afraid to share the love of God, the joy that the Lord had given him. We know the result that happened, and that is what this creation is all about, is the sharing of that joy, that it might grow in us, that the Lord might have a fullness of joy in and through you. You know, in that particular, I might turn to it. I don't want to misquote. I didn't have this written down, but I'd hate to misquote. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, my wife will tell you I misquote often. I'm going to quote from this particular man that had 1 talent. No, the 24th. And it says, the 24th verse. And it says, and he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Okay. I read that. Maybe I don't know how you read that. But when I read that, I don't read it as the Lord is a hard man. I read it as the Lord's way is sure. Okay? It is sure. It is straight. It is narrow. And it is, there's no deviation. There is one way. Okay? And he says, I knew that thou art a hard man. I knew that there was one way. And this one who received one talent said, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So this one who received this one talent knew how the gospel, how the love of Jesus Christ was shared in the earth, not by the Father, but by us. He said, I know that you're going to reap where you haven't sowed. I know you're going to harvest from this. He knew what his job was, did he not? He knew. He knew that the Lord had gone away. It says so earlier in that. He came for the kingdom of is a man traveling in a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Then he went on his way. Went back to the Father. But what did this man say? And I was afraid. I was afraid and went and hid the talent, the love of Jesus Christ in the earth. And lo, there is that is thine. And the Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not strawed. You knew what the work was. Shame on you. Shame on me if I don't share the love of Jesus Christ that he's given me. That's completely off my sermon, but I just threw it in there. I want to turn back to John, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the next verse, the fourth verse. And I read the first three to you. And all things were created by him. And as Colossians says, by him and for him and a purpose in him. And it says that fourth verse, it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. What is that life? You know, so immediately we think, well, it's eternal life, it's salvation, it's so forth. I'm not so sure that that's what he's talking about here. I am not so sure. When you think, those of you that have been translated, that have been changed, and you think of Jesus Christ, and you think about what resides in Jesus Christ, what do you think? Anybody can answer. Well, I tell you what I think, and I think that's what this life is. Love in Jesus Christ. In him, and that's what my life and your life is all about. Because we know in the Book of Mormon it says that he bestows that love upon all who are true followers of him. He also says in the Book of Mormon that we are to pray with all the energy of our hearts that we might be filled with that love. And in him was life, that life. Nothing else will give you life besides that love that he bestows upon you. When I read that, in my mind, I'm assured he's talking about that. He's not talking about salvation. I want to turn to 1 John, the fourth chapter. I want to read two verses. And all I'm going to read to this is to reestablish what I think this life is that he's talking about. 16th and 17th verses, and it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Life. That's what it's about. "And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now, I want you to remember that man who received one talent and the one who received five and two, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our job is to share the love of Jesus Christ. And that is the way it's done. That's the way my love is made perfect. That's the way your love is made perfect. Why do you want to be perfect? Besides, it's a commandment. Okay? Besides, it's a commandment. Why in the world, besides it being a commandment, do you want to be perfect? I want to be perfect so I can glorify God in the best way there is. Because he is worthy. He has given me all that I have. Everything that I have, everything that I have that's worth of value in my life, he has given to me. It's a gift. And it's a gift of love because of the love that he has. And as he is, so I want to be perfect that I might better glorify Jesus Christ. I hope that is your reason also. I want to turn into Hebrews. If I can find it. Those of you who have listened to me preach have heard me preach this many times, starting in the fifth chapter. Starting in 12, in the fifth chapter, reading down into chapter 6. "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, that ye should become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. And every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to every one of you here that has been baptized into Jesus Christ, who has made that covenant, who has exercised that spirit that he has given you. Now he tells you what? Therefore, because of this, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, but of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. You guys know all this. You have received it, you know it. What's he say? Go on unto perfection. Go on unto perfection. Now this next verse, the third verse. You know, I've wondered about this. And because it says, and this we will do. If what? If God permit. It is our desire to be perfect. It is my desire to be perfect, not for myself. And you don't do it for yourself. You do it for Jesus Christ, because he is worthy of your glorifying him. That is the reason. And but this verse has troubled me. And this we will do. Have that determination. If God permit. Well, if I have that desire, isn't that enough? If I'm working towards that, isn't that enough? In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, that's enough. Yeah, I want perfection. I want it that I might better glorify Jesus Christ. But you know something? It's all a gift. It's not what I want. It's what Christ wants me to have. Because it's a gift anyway. If you believe that scripture out of Isaiah where it says, his ways are not my ways. They're so much higher. And his thoughts are not my thoughts. They're so much higher that I can want what I want and think it's for the best reason. But it's all a gift. Am I worthy of it because I want it? Am I worthy of it because I desire to glorify Jesus Christ? No, I'm not worthy. Mother Teresa wasn't worthy. Nobody's worthy. It's a gift. Did I earn it? No, I don't earn it. The scriptures in the Book of Mormon, in the Bible, are full. We even in the back of my Book of Mormon have a place where it says salvation is free and then lists the scriptures in there. And it's full. I don't earn it. It's a gift of God, all that I have. I want to turn back into 1 John. Second chapter. This is another one that I read because I love it. Starting with the 28th, 1 John, 2nd chapter, 28th verse. It's saying the same thing. Saying the same thing. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he may shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he's bestowed it upon us. Okay. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Now listen. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I know myself. I know myself. I know that I am not worthy. I know that I cannot earn it. Through myself, it doesn't yet appear what I'll be. But we know, I know that when he shall appear, I shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How do I know that? Because Christ is worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy. and he's given it to me. And I have confidence not in myself. In the words, many times, you do not have confidence in yourself. You don't boast upon yourself. But I have confidence in Christ. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to turn into the Book of Mormon. You were wondering when I was going to get to that, weren't you? I hope you were. I want to turn to another favorite scripture of mine, but I don't read it often. 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi. He's talking to his disciples. And it came to pass, 12th verse. And it came to pass, when Jesus had said these words, he spake unto his disciples one by one, saying unto them, what is it that ye desire of me after I have gone to the Father? And they all spake, save it were three. So he asked them, sounds like he asked them individually to me. And they all said the same thing, except three of them. And it says, we desire that after we have lived unto the age of man, that our ministry wherein thou hast called us may have an end, that we may speedily come unto thee and into the kingdom of God. And he saith unto them, blessed are ye. Okay, good. He says, blessed are ye. Blessed are ye, because ye desire this thing of me. It was a good thing, okay? It was a great thing that they wanted. They wanted to perform their ministry their entire life. And then they wanted to go to the kingdom. Because ye desire this thing of me. Therefore, after ye are 72 years old, ye shall come unto me into my kingdom, and with me ye shall find rest. There we go. Okay? Their reward, salvation. And when he had spoken to them, he turned himself unto the three, and said unto them, what will ye that I should do unto you when I am gone unto the Father? And they sorrowed in their hearts, for they durst not speak unto him the thing which they desired. So was the thing that they desired wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. It wasn't wrong. But they didn't want to appear before the Lord as wanting something more. Okay? They were humble men, and they didn't want it to appear after the other nine had said, this is what we want. And he said, blessed are you. They didn't want to appear like it was for themselves, because it kind of sounded like it. If they had tried to address it in men's words. And they sorrowed in their hearts and durst not speak unto him the thing which they desired. And he said unto them, behold, I know your thoughts. I know your thoughts. And ye have desired the thing which John, my beloved, which was with me on my ministry before that I was lifted up, desired of me. What were they desiring? They desired to be exactly like Jesus Christ and do his work upon this earth and be perfected, so that they might be perfected in his love. That was their desire. It wasn't a selfish, they wanted to glorify God forever. Glorify Christ. Therefore, now I don't want to get into a debate, okay? But this is what the Book of Mormon says. And I believe every word of the Book of Mormon. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. I had a testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon that is just as plain now as when it happened some, I should be able to tell you, 34, 35 years ago. So I know this is true. I mean, I absolutely know that this is true. 18, therefore, more blessed are ye. For ye shall never taste of death, but ye shall live to behold all the doings of the Father unto the children of men, even until all things shall be fulfilled according to the will of the Father, when I shall come in my glory with the powers of heaven. And ye shall never endure the pains of death. Did they want this? No, they didn't want this. That wasn't, they didn't want this, what he's giving them. They just wanted to glorify God. They wanted to be perfected. This is what the Lord said they will receive. Never endure the pains of death, but when I shall come in my glory, ye shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality. And then ye shall be blessed in the kingdom of my Father. And again, ye shall not have pain while ye shall dwell in the flesh, neither sorrow, save it were for the sins of the world. Goodness gracious. They are going to feel the sins of the world just as Christ felt the sins of the world. And all this I will do because of the thing which ye have desired of me. For ye have desired that ye might bring souls of men unto me while the world shall stand. And for this cause ye shall have a fullness of joy, and ye shall sit down in the kingdom of the Father. And it goes on. Yea, your joy shall be full, even as the Father has given me a fullness of joy, and ye shall be even as I am. And I am even as the Father, and the Father and I are one. They did this all for the glory of Christ. And it was a gift. It was a gift. Would they have been happy without this being filled with the joy and being just like the Father? Yes, they would have been happy. They weren't seeking that perfection for themselves. They were seeking that perfection for the love of Christ, because of the love of Christ. They weren't doing it for a reward. They knew for a fact, as you know, and I know, that all they have, all these grandkids you have, is a gift of Jesus Christ, that you might share the love, that you might share the love that the Lord has given to you with them. That's what it's for. I want to turn to that scripture that I referenced before in closing. I think. Yeah. 768, one verse, 53rd verse. You know it like the back of your hand. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that ye may be filled with this love, okay, which he has bestowed upon all his true followers of his Son Jesus Christ. You've all received of that love. You've all received of that love. Everyone in here that Christ has chosen. I almost said that have chosen Christ, but that Christ has chosen, and you've accepted that calling and you made that promise. Everyone has received of that love. But he's saying here, pray with all the energy of your heart that you might come under perfection. And continue to pray that. That ye may become the sons and the daughters, that when he shall appear, ye shall be like him, for ye, the same theme, isn't it? It's the same exact theme, that ye shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. That is your prayer. You may not receive it. You know, you may not receive it. You know something? It doesn't matter. He does what he wills. He will do it. And it's perfect. But he wants in your heart that desire to be perfected in his love. I hope I've given you, I want you to note the time, I finished right on time. I hope I've given you something to think about, more to think about, but I want you to believe those verses. Believe the verses that say you have been translated into his kingdom and have that confidence in Jesus Christ, that confidence in Jesus Christ that you are there in his kingdom. And there's nothing, like in the Romans, the 8th chapter, there is nothing that can take you away from that. Absolutely nothing. Thank you.